Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
My message this morning is from Matthew chapter 9. So if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. We've had a great time of fellowship, Brother Tice, always do. We have a wonderful friendship. The Lord has blessed that over the years. And how I praise the Lord for what's being accomplished here. 71,000 souls saved through the missions programs at the Liberty Baptist Church. What a wonderful blessing that is. All God's people said, amen. Let's all stand. I want to read a few verses from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Follow along as I read. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Matthew chapter 9, Jesus was on his third missionary journey. Our third journey through Galilee, which included 204 cities. He took the gospel beyond theological discussion, and he uses an object lesson. The object lesson was a sheep without a shepherd, and a field ready to be harvested without laborers. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time you've given us today. We look forward to hearing your word. Father, I trust today that we'll allow the word of God to speak to our hearts. Again, Father, we thank you for what's been accomplished here. And Father, what you're going to use, how are you going to use us to the praise of your glory, even the church here at Liberty Baptist Church. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The passion of Jesus was itself moving as you look at the compassion that he had. Jesus' compassion is a benchmark for all of us as Christians. We recognize that Jesus Christ is now moved with compassion as he looks on these souls ready to harvest. As we look at this portion of scripture, I want to share with you just three simple truths. First of all, I like us to recognize the vision. We have to have a real vision for souls before we're going to have the compassion that Jesus had on these souls. In verse number 36, the Bible says he saw. Then in verse number 39, we see vision in the word and activity of praying. Seeing and praying. Verse number 36, he saw, he seen. What affects our emotion? What affects your compassion? I was talking to Clint on the phone, my 32-year-old son who's at home with his sister. And I love old Clint. I mean, you know, Clint, born with Down syndrome, I often say to him, Clint, I love you so much. Both of my daughters have left me for guys they didn't hardly know. And you stayed home with me all these years. How I praise the Lord for Clint. But seriously, I talked to Clint, and it's great, but it's nothing like seeing Clint. So last night, Tina sent me a video of Clint going down the water slide. It's about a 55-foot water slide going down into the lake. Your pastor, I'm sure, will be on it when he speaks there for family camp. But what a blessing it was to see Clint slide down that water slide. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 51, the Bible says, mine eyes affected my heart because of all the daughters of my city. So yet somehow we do not see clearly the real spiritual, the real eternal needs of mankind. We don't see their souls. We don't recognize that they're sheep without a shepherd, and that they are they're a field that needs to be harvested. So often, and we're talking about this the other day, but so often we many times see the imperfections of people. We see the irregularities of people. We see the personalities of people, even the nationalities of people. before we see their souls. Think about it just for a second. Every man, every woman, every teenager, every child has a soul. As we think about that, I remember studying in an airport in Minneapolis, Minnesota, waiting for my plane. And as I was studying there, I saw an individual with red boots, red leather pants, long black coat, dyed black hair, post in his lips or her lips, nose rings, earrings, eye rings, rings and posts where pirates would never put them. I was thinking, you know, it used to be in the old days, pirates could get that earring done for free, but now it's a buccaneer. But anyway, it's a good one. Arr. All right. So anyway, first thing I look at this person, I say, what is it? All right. What is it? And then second thing, I think this is one of those punkers. Is that what they call them? A punker, punk rock or something? I don't know. You know, I'm not into that like your pastor is. But anyway, then there's a still small voice. And it wasn't the Holy Spirit, it was my wife. And she said, it's someone's child. It's someone's child. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. It's a soul. It's a soul. A soul that needs Jesus. In Jude, verse 22, and if some have compassion, making a difference. And we need to be making a difference in this world today. And the only way we're going to make a difference, if we start looking at people and recognizing they are souls. And the Lord Jesus Christ has given us the Great Commission to go and reach souls with the gospel. We don't need more gospel. We need more compassion in our local churches. That's what we need. More compassion for souls. Jesus saw the crowd. He didn't criticize them. He didn't blame them. He didn't rebuke them. No, he was deeply concerned for their souls. As Christians, we need to be concerned for souls. We need to have the eyes of Christ. We need to look at people and say, that's a soul. That's an individual that needs Jesus. That's an individual that needs freedom from sin. That's an individual that needs freedom maybe from religion. You know, religion is sending a lot of people to hell. Jesus said in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. They needed freedom from their bondage. Their bondage of the sins of chains of sin, or their bondage from religion, as I mentioned. Jesus, the Bible says, did you see it? Was moved. Jesus moved. I think sometimes we become too professional, too mechanical, sometimes even perhaps too intellectual. We need to be as Christ and literally be filled with compassion. That emotion needs to take over, where our minds try to trick us and giving us all kinds of excuses and why we should not reach that soul. The truth of the matter is, we're filled with self. Because we're filled with self, our eyes aren't on souls, but on stuff. Huh? Everybody say it with me, stuff. Yeah, we know what stuff is. Garage sales. Garages where you can't get your car in anymore. Storage sheds. More storage sheds. Stuff. We got to have stuff because that seems to fulfill us. I tell you what will fulfill you. When you lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ and you see that soul change, you see that person immediately recognize that now they have Jesus. That'll change you. We need to be moved, don't we? I was speaking at a missions conference in Wisconsin. And I remember there was a missionary from Haiti that got up and spoke. I'll never forget the illustration he told. It was about a double-decker boat, and they were going from one port to another, and the boat pulled out from the port. It was packed with people and stuff. And all of a sudden, about 600 or 700 yards out, that boat capsized. And when it did, the people from the shore jumped in their little boats and their little dinghies and things and went out. But they didn't go out to save the people who were in the water. They went out to pick up all the stuff. They were picking up the stuff, filling their boats with stuff instead of saving people. I wonder if the angels of heaven look over the portals. We know they rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. I wonder if they look over and they say, look at them filling up their boat with stuff. There's a soul that needs to be saved and they're picking up stuff. What's happened to 21st century Christianity? We seem to be so complacent about the harvest, so complacent about sheep. Why in the world does it take some missionaries 4 and 5 years to get to the mission field? It's because we've lost sight of what really is important. We need to recognize and have a vision for what God sees as important. And I tell you, friends, it is the souls of men. We've lost sight of that. The challenge before us is definitely pungent. The challenge before us is definitely relevant. It's a reminder of the responsibility we have today. The harvest is right now. As the world grows darker and darker, we need to be producing more light. As we are involved in these perilous days, we need to be recognizing we need to be more productive for our God. Psalm 90, verse number 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. To number our days means to come to grips with the reality that time is short, just only one life, and 'twill soon be passed, and only a stun for Christ will last. We don't like to think about dying, you know. I wake up this morning, well, I wonder if I'm going to die today. No. I brush my teeth, I'm looking, man, you look good today. You're going to be a great day, you get to preach today. You're going to stand by Brother Tyson, you're going to look even better. But we basically believe the oldest lie that Satan whispered to Eve. Ye shall not surely die. We're involved in the spa culture. S-P-A, the spa culture. Get pampered, get plucked, pumped up, six packs. I'm more of the 2-liter deal myself right now. From lifts to lasers, from Botox to liposuction. I always thought liposuction had to do with dentistry. You know, when they set the other thing up. Manicures, pedicures, massages, toning, tanning. Now, I'm not saying it's a sin. Don't get me wrong, to be tanned or to get a manicure. Truth is, if the barn needs painting, paint it. But I am saying the attitude of our culture is this. We're spending so much time on the outside, we're forgetting the inside. We need to de-emphasize the body and emphasize the soul. Emphasize the soul. That's what Jesus is emphasizing here. What moved Jesus? Well, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ought to know that, friend. What's your name, good sir? Manny. Manny. I ought to know that. I like that guy. Got a great smile. I like that. We ought to know what moved Jesus. I ought to know that. And that ought to be in my life. That ought to be a part of my life. I'm going to tell you what moved Jesus. The lost condition of those people. That multitude. You know, take a look at that those verses again, just quickly. Look at them with me, if you would, please. Look at verse number 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. The word fainted there, the Greek word for fainted is skylo. And it means fainted, all right? It means fainted. But also, it was used as a word that meant distress and literally skinned. Skinned. Then he says, and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The word scattered there is interesting. It's repto. It's the Greek word. It would be a word that you would use if, how many have ever played pickup sticks? How many have ever played pickup sticks? You take the pickup sticks and you let them go and they're just scattered everywhere. That's repto. No directions. Thrown down. One commentator wrote, they wobbled from emotional exhaustion. What? We know about that. Today, our counseling offices are full and overflowing. People are living lives that are a wreck. They're seeking for some kind of reprieve, some kind of relief. They're looking for some kind of answer. We've got the answer. It's in the gospel. Wait a second. What do you mean, Pastor? I'm saying there's some good counselors out there and there's some great programs out there to help people, but their condition will not be better until, by convincing conversation, until they have been converted, until their souls have been changed. And then we're a new person. We're a new life. We have a new life in Christ. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 11. Take your Bibles and turn there. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And the Bible says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We know that our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here. And he's saying, come to me. I'm going to give you the rest. I'm going to give you the comfort. I'm going to give you the care that the world will not give you. As you look at this, you see they needed a Savior. They were ultimately heading to hell without Jesus. We talked about it in Sunday school, Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. Such a simple verse in the Bible. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Simple words, simple one-syllable words, but powerful words. Jesus came to this world and he died on the cross of Calvary to shed his blood for our sins so that through him we could have everlasting life. So through him we could have eternal life. For God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, friend, we want to show you how you can have that rest that Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 11. That peace that passes all understanding. A joy that can fill your heart and your soul. These people needed salvation. Wait. What's a greater need than salvation? There is none. Salvation is what it's all about. See, we need a vision. We need a vision. We need to have a vision. Pray ye. Pray ye for a vision. Praying for laborers to harvest the lost. Powerful verse for this missions conference. Soul winning. A prayer that we would see the lost saved. When Jesus looked at the multitude, something happened inside him. He was moved. And then he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. Pray ye for the harvest. As I look at this congregation, I see all kinds of good people out here. You folks are a great group of people to preach to. I love preaching to you folks at Liberty Baptist Church in Las Vegas. You're so kind. But also see a group of people that can reach the souls of men. You've got the ability. You've got the ability, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, because all power is given unto you to reach those that are lost. You can get out in the fields. You can help that sheep that's gone astray. We're living in a day where Christians pay their tithes and give their faith promise. And in doing so, they pay their pastor and they support missionaries. And they feel good about evangelism because now they're cheerleaders for the cause of Christ. But that's not the program of Christ. The program of Christ is for you to become compassionate towards souls and get involved in praying and giving and going. We're not going to have more compassion. No, first of all, we have a vision. Second, we're not going to have Christ-like compassion until, first of all, we see the value of a soul. Jesus uses the illustration of a sheep and a harvest. He uses these deliberately so that we get in our mind's eye how important it is. See, as we look at this, we see that a sheep was valuable because, again, it was used for clothing, for food, and the harvest, it was time sensitive because the harvest without wheat meant death because they needed food. Many of them only had that. A waste or a loss of food in particular would mean either life or death for them. And so as we look at this portion of Scripture, we see that Jesus gives these profound illustrations to give us an idea of how important it is to reach the souls of men. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, yet lose his own soul? But not only vision and value, but there's the venture. We must go. See, we're the laborers. That's who he's talking about. We are the ones who have received Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are his disciples. We are involved in his cause. We are the ye of Matthew chapter 28. We are the ye to go ye. We won't have a heart full of compassion moved until we venture out into the fields, white on the harvest. In these two verses, we see the activity of going out to people. In order to harvest wheat, you can't sit in your chair. You've got to go out and get the wheat. In order to gather the sheep, you've got to go out as a shepherd and get involved with the sheep. Kathy and I go soul winning every week. We go soul winning, you know, every day we're involved in passing out tracts and we love telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great joy to be used of God to reach people. In our church, as I look at our church, I see all kinds of people that I've reached for Jesus Christ over the years. People that have been coming now for several years. I've been there 39 years. And we have people that I led to Christ 39 years. The chairman of my deacons is the first guy I baptized. And 39 years ago. How I praise God for that as I look around and I see all. And now we see their children that we've led to Christ. And what a wonderful blessing that is to recognize. But we did not. We would not see them today if it wasn't for the fact that we had not gone out. We went out. For years, Kathy was involved in a bus route. Yeah, in one of the most violent cities in America. The FBI for years said that Saginaw per capita was one of the most violent cities in America. And Kathy went out on a bus route. I was always concerned that we sent a lady who was 5 foot and 100 pounds with her. And so I felt better about the whole deal. But Kathy had some wonderful, saw some wonderful conversions on that bus route, as I did. I remember Kathy one time, she went with Bonnie, and they, whenever you go soul winning, you know, you always go in the house, you try to find something nice to say. Well, some of those houses, it's pretty hard to find something nice to say. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, thanks for hooking the dog up. That's about the nicest thing you could say. But they went in the house, and Kathy's trying to look for something to say nice about the house. And she says, wow, that's really nice smelling potpourri. That really smells good. Wow, that is really nice. And so Bonnie's kind of hitting her purse, trying to get her to get off of that subject. And so when they left the house, Kathy said, Bonnie, why were you continually hitting my purse when I was talking about the nice smelling potpourri? She said, that was not potpourri, that was marijuana. So our house has been smelling good ever since that time. We're always a little lightheaded when we leave. But Jude, verse number 22, and have some having a compassion, making a difference. Take your Bibles and turn to Jude 22. Look at it. If you don't have it marked, mark it. Remember it. Remember this verse. And if some have compassion, making a difference. And you, sir, can make a difference by having compassion. And you, ma'am, can make a difference by having compassion. And you, sir, could make a difference by having compassion. There are souls that are heading to hell. How many know somebody that needs Jesus? If you know somebody that needs Jesus, he's in your family or at work or in your neighborhood, you know somebody that needs Jesus. Slip your hand if you know somebody that needs Jesus. Put them in that chair. Put him in that chair right now. See him in that chair. Put him in that chair. Then put him in that baptismal tank. Huh? Put him in that chair. You know somebody needs Jesus? When was the last time you wept over him? When was the last time you looked at him and you go, man, I got to tell you, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for your soul. I've been praying that God would save you. Jesus loves you. I'm praying for you. Let them see our compassion. Let them know our compassion. Let them hear our compassion. We need to go. Luke chapter 15, verse number 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which have no repentance, which need no repentance. Our missions giving will be like our compassion. If you have no vision, you don't see the value of a soul, if you don't venture out, then your mission giving will be minimal at best. When you have compassion, when you recognize that you have a part in something greater than yourself, you have a part in fulfilling the will of God in your life through Jesus Christ, your Savior, you can see great and mighty things accomplished. I close with this, one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived. A man that had some of the greatest compassion I've ever read about for the souls of man. And weren't his family, they were people that would have killed him. But he had compassion for them. His name was David Livingston. Lord, he said, send me anywhere. Lay any burden on me. Sever any ties but the tie that binds me to thy service and to thy heart. I was amazed, Brother Tice, when I read that this man walked over 11,000 miles. It is said that he spoke personally over 2 million people. He intended to go to China, but was hindered by the Opium Wars. He heard the great missionary Robert Moffat speak of the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary had ever been, and felt the Lord call him to the interior of Africa. Early in his time there, he was attacked by a lion. The lion literally crushed his shoulder, and for the rest of his life, his arm and shoulder hung down. He went to the coast of Africa for medical help, and there he met a young lady by the name of Mary Moffat, the daughter of Robert Moffat, that spoke of the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary had been. He married her, Robert Moffat's daughter. He would later bury her and one of his children. His journal records that his diet was so poor that his belt had to be taken in several notches. Eventually, all his teeth fell out. Boils and lacerations covered his feet and legs. In some villages, the natives would take him and tie him to a tree so that he could speak, because he didn't have enough strength to stand. There was a man by the name of Henry Stanley. Henry Stanley described himself as the biggest atheist that ever lived. And he wanted to see this David Livingston. He wanted to write about this David Livingston. And so this reporter went to Africa to find this missionary that he'd heard stories about. He'd heard stories about in England and the United States. His words became famous, and maybe you'll remember them. He said, "Dr. Livingston, I presume?" When Henry Stanley reported to the New York Herald, found David Livingston, Livingston was partially blind and was very near death. David Livingston was still preaching, still evangelizing. Stanley traveled with Livingston for 4 months and described him as a man who had sympathy for everyone but himself. Weak and near death, Livingston refused to return to civilization. Eventually, the great missionary became so frail that he could not walk. The natives prepared a hut for him and put him on a cot. In the middle of the night, one of Livingston's faithful helpers was awakened by a groan. And he ran in, and the missionary had rolled out of his cot, was on his knees in prayer, and there he died. His body was left to dry in the sun for 2 weeks, wrapped in animal skins, placed in a cylinder of bark and painted with tar. Heartbroken natives carried that body 1,500 miles from the interior of Africa to the coast. The trip took 9 months. Livingston's remains were welcomed by 700 freed slaves who came to bid him farewell to the man who had brought them the gospel, a man that had compassion for their souls, David Livingston. A contingent of Africans accompanied his body as it was shipped to England and buried with honors at the Westminster Abbey. The body arrived, though without a heart, because the natives had taken his heart and put it under the foot of a huge tree surrounded by the smoke of 1,000 villages who had now heard the gospel because there was a man who had compassion for their souls. Will you have greater compassion today for the souls of men? You'll only have that if you have a vision for souls, if you value a soul, and if you'll venture out to reach the souls of men. Father, I thank you for this time you've given us today, and I thank you for your word and the power of it. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us in this one area to have a greater compassion for souls. Dear God, help us understand how important it is for us to have a Christ-like compassion for souls. Father, help us see as Jesus saw the souls of men. Help us see as you see the value of a soul. And dear God, help us to go with the gospel, to venture out, that others might see our light so shine for you as we have life to give for you. Father, help us in this time of decision. In Jesus' name.
We hope that method was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.